We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
We go ahead.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
How does trading for a 24-year-old left-handed power-hitting right fielder Nomar Mazara fit into the White Sox offseason plan? Was this a good move or a rushed one?
I can't say it was a rushed one. I think the Sox are eager to get things going, and I think they want to get pitching done, and they've been trying to do that. So I was surprised because I thought Steel Walker was on a pretty good trajectory, but basically you're taking a guy that is a minor leaguer and you're turning him into a guy that has already played in the major leagues. I'm going to try to be positive about it. Would I have preferred them to just spend money and just bring in someone that we know has done it at the major league level, is more accomplished? Of course I would, but this is their way of getting it done. I will not judge them until I see how they do with the starting pitching.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
After 10 straight years playing the Packers at Lambeau Field in primetime before a national television audience, it's back to noon on Sunday for the NFL's longest-running rivalry. Which team does that favor more, the Bears or the Packers?
I can't see how this favors the Bears. You've got Aaron Rodgers playing at Lambeau at noon on a team this year that has been 5-0 for noon kickoffs.
Yes.
And his passer rating is considerably higher for noon kickoffs than the rest of the kickoffs.
He gets tired later in the day.
He must. Noon kickoffs, his passer rating in five games is over 120. He's also, in December and January, the highest rated career passer in regular season home games ever with 110.7. This is a guy you don't want to give a noon kickoff at home to if you can avoid it. And the Bears can't avoid it.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're talking about the White Sox, the Nomar Mazara trade. We've talked about the Cubs in terms of being
quiet.
Well, Jed said there's nothing in the red zone.
Yeah,
but there has been tons of talk, and you write about it this morning in the Tribune about Chris Bryant, and I don't know if that makes anybody overly happy. I think that there are a certain group of fans that feel there's an inevitability to making a big move, and Chris Bryant might be the one you have to do, but I'm hoping that maybe there's other things at play here, and I don't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. The big news in baseball is Gerrit Cole. He is heading to the Bronx. He will be joining the Bronx Bombers. The Yankees have given him a 9-year, wait for it, $324 million deal. And I said to you that when I remember when A-Rod got the $254 million deal, I couldn't believe that $250 million had been spent on any player, regardless of how good and regardless of who had the money to spend. And then you turn around and you look at this, and it just blows it out of the water. And certainly, you know, we've seen two back-to-back days where you had Strasburg getting a $245 million deal, and then you have this $324 million. Absolutely mind-boggling that there's more than half a billion dollars spent on pitching in baseball. Says something about the health of the game, or maybe it says something about whether the game has health. I don't know.
The health of the owners is pretty good.
Well, the health of the owners, the desperation is there too.
It screams desperation. Yeah. You wonder about the no trade clause in this contract as well, because David Price signed a $217 million deal with the Red Sox several years ago, and now they're talking about trading him. There's trade rumors surrounding David Price. You wonder how long it will be before some of these deals, you know, to kind of they fill the teams that signed these pitchers with regret. And you just can't help but wonder that Gerrit Cole could win a Cy Young Award and a World Series with the Yankees, and maybe that would fulfill, you know, his goal and meet expectations. But then he's got eight more years to go.
How many of these deals work out? I mean, how many of these deals can you look at? Like, I think Max Scherzer, pretty good, right? You
Max Scherzer good? Was terrific.
That's a terrific deal.
Steven Strasburg, you can understand because he won a World Series there. It's almost like for what he has done.
In the long term. I mean, but you're in free agency, you're supposed to pay for the future, not the past.
Yeah, in theory.
I mean, A-Rod, Mike Stanton. I mean, what a train wreck that was.
Yeah, there's all sorts of examples about guys who, you know, sign these big contracts and you wait for the payoff. I guess John Lester would be an example in town where that was money well spent by the Cubs. He was a guy that you needed to sign at the time 5 years ago in San Diego, at the winter meetings there, that was a credibility buy. You were paying for instant credibility, and you needed that for your franchise, much like you look at the White Sox. I mean, who was there? John Lester. You could understand spending $100 million on a guy if you think that he is the one that's going to help you turn the corner as a franchise. The Yankees have turned that corner. The Nationals have turned that corner. The Dodgers have turned that corner. They're going to overpay just because the marketplace dictates that. You know, there's this sort of euphoria, this sort of hysteria. You have to get the guy that everybody wants. So you're going to pay $324 million for one pitcher who was one arm injury away from what?
I mean, but look at his age. Right? And they seem to have figured out how to use him. He had an unbelievable – that guy went into a free agency coming off a World Series appearance, as did Strasburg. Strasburg, an MVP in the World Series. I mean, it's a unique situation. And I've always felt, David, I like when elite players get paid. I like when the best of the profession get paid, because I think that is almost motivation for everyone else in the game. But you said something really interesting earlier in the show when we first started talking about some of this stuff. When we start looking at this desperation issue, if you will, how do you balance the need to win in the right now versus what the future will hold, both in the game and in what you're dealing with moving forward? How do you handle when the contract does go bad? How do you just eat the money and be done with it? I mean, this potentially could stop every other team in their tracks, right?
I doubt it. I mean, the Yankees are worth $4.6 billion. They don't worry. They don't sit around there and you hear, you know, Hal Steinbrenner talking about the luxury tax threshold. You don't really hear the Red Sox. I mean, they're wanting to react to it now, but they won a World Series because of the way they quote unquote overpaid for David Price. I think it's tricky, because if we're sitting here this morning and the White Sox had, you know, paid $325 million and landed Gerrit Cole,
then they'd never sign another player.
Well, I know, because but I know that it's difficult to kind of suspend, you know, common sense here. But for the purpose of the hypothetical or what we're talking about, and we would be finding ways to support the idea that they were in go for it mode, and they were reacting to the moment, and they were getting that guy that I just described buys them credibility, and you would think that was worth whatever price they were willing to pay. And if they're willing to pay that money, then it's their budget and it's their franchise, and they have, you know, that you understand it and you would maybe rationalize it. From afar, it's difficult to rationalize. It's difficult to understand. I get what the Yankees are and what they mean to baseball. I think you can respect their willingness to go for it each and every year.
The Yankees were eliminated with, was it Andrew Green who started that game? They had to do a bullpen game in an elimination game. The Yankees were desperate to have starting pitching. When is Tanaka up? Is it next year? So I think they have other issues at play. And frankly, I'm not upset about this, because I'm a Sox fan. I want them to do well in the American League. This damages Houston. This hurts Houston. Houston hopefully will also be damaged by whatever comes down with Major League Baseball over their cheating scandal, right? So if we can hurt, and again, if this is a bad contract for the Yankees, yay. That's all the better, because I want all of these teams to go by the wayside so the Sox can get it going.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, if you want a Sox fan, you want to have that takeaway. That's understandable. But I think that when you look at the Yankees, if they needed started pitching, if they didn't need starting pitching, they were going to be in the Gerrit Cole sweepstakes. They're always in the conversation for the most highly sought after, most expensive free agent. That's just the way they operate because that's their mindset. How much did they pay for Stanton? How much did they pay for all these guys?
Well, the Stanton deal was already cut in Florida, but they took it on.
They absorbed it.
Yes.
Yeah, they were willing to pay whatever the price was, and it was a high price. It's just a matter of
by the way, done after 2020, which means $23 million coming off the books. But they also will need a starting pitcher, right? So $23 million invested elsewhere.
The salaries to me are bookkeeping matters. I mean, the Yankees don't care. The Yankees don't care. They care about what they have as far as the need on their baseball roster. And Gerrit Cole, after the season that he had, was going to command as much as he ended up commanding. It's just difficult to reconcile how you've got two guys that had terrific postseasons, and you look at, you know, Gerrit Cole was unhittable from June on, and you know Steven Strasburg, World Series MVP, they got paid, and you worry about, if I'm a fan of either team, they're one injury away from having that kind of money invested, and it backfiring. It is interesting too that this happens after the Nationals win a championship. A season after saying goodbye to a $300 million player
in
Bryce Harper. So you can make the argument on both ends of the equation that this is worth money well spent because you need it, or look what the Nationals did without investing that kind of money.
Okay, so let me follow. So the Astros are actually better after losing this pitcher.
I'm not saying they're better.
No, I'm totally
no. I'm saying that
But the Yankees are.
I think it also maybe complicates that argument if because the pitcher versus a position player.
Right.
You know, a pitcher as dominant as Cole is, you can justify it to some degree.
So they made the $300 million buy of Harper, and now they've just spent $118 million on Wheeler. And that's going to get them the World Series.
The Phillies?
I'm just saying. More
they just
people
spent 14...
are spending. And look how much money San Diego has spent in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And that's a small market.
And the Phillies spent $14 million on a shortstop yesterday. And we sort of like shrug like, oh, yeah, that's a good buy. That's a good purchase.
All right. We're going to bring Bruce Levine into the conversation. We'll find out if he likes this move for the White Sox, if there is anything impending with pitching.
And the top of the hour was brought to you by Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 the Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Bruce Levine is the Score's baseball expert, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, guys. Mike, you have to be happy. Your team continues to try to improve itself.
Have they improved themselves? Is that what happened?
Well, I mean, they didn't get Harold Baines in his prime, but they got themselves an athletic outfielder who has some power, has really good reputation as a right fielder, good arm, more athletic, more importantly, a left-handed bat to go into that lineup to give it more balance, something they've tried to do with the addition of Grandal and this guy. And, I think position by position, the White Sox are certainly much stronger. I think that they're in a situation now where they have to put all their attention toward the two starting pitchers that they need to bring in, two veterans, and we'll see where it goes. Now the price of poker, after Cole and Strasburg certainly has gone up.
Two burning questions, Bruce. Number one, is this a platoon situation they're looking at in right field with Lurie Garcia? And number two, are they any closer to any one of those two pitchers in free agency?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, I can't tell you that they're closer to those two pitchers because the market has really been waiting since Wheeler. The market's really been waiting here at the winter meetings for Cole to sign. I mean, that was a huge sign. Now that Cole and Strasburg have signed, you can get back to real business of who's left and what the real market value is for these guys. And that might move pretty fast here because there's a bunch of teams in need of a Bumgarner. There's a bunch of teams in need of a Ryu. There's a bunch of teams in need of a Keuchel. And now they become, their stars begin to shine just a little bit brighter as these clubs don't want to miss out on a starting pitcher that can help their rotation. So the White Sox aren't alone here. The markets might be surprisingly high considering, you know, how much the two big-time pitchers got.
You know, it's always interesting when you see a team trade for someone rather than sign someone. Were they having a difficulty getting a free agent to jump on board? Is that one of the reasons they decided to make this deal?
Well, you know, Castellanos' market, I'm hearing, is really gone up, and that it might be 5 years.
The Giants,
years,
right? The Giants are real hot on him.
Yeah, I mean, it might be 5 years and $100 million. Is he really that type of player? I mean, the market dictates what type of player it is, money-wise. Is that where you want to tie yourself up with for the next 5 years? So I think the White Sox had to wait in line a little bit for Castellanos as the market developed itself. They wanted to protect themselves here. Yeah, if they find themselves with a situation where they've gotten their pitching, Castellanos is still out there, you know, maybe they make a run at him. But, I think that they really have to focus right now on their starting pitching. Now, you asked me if Mazzara is a platoon player. I don't think so. The metrics tell you that he's not the player that they thought he was. This is a guy that drove in 100 runs in his second year in the big leagues 3 years ago. His numbers, and if you believe in OPS and OPS plus, are under league average. So from that perspective, it might be questionable. At 25, being more athletic, giving them really good defense in right field, I think they feel that that's a plus for them right now.
Big signing, Gerrit Cole going to the Yankees, Bruce. A lot of money, 9 years, $324 million. How does that affect, if at all, the White Sox approach? And were they ever one of those mystery teams?
No, I mean, you really have to talk yourself into the fact that you're going to get 3 good years out of Cole. And then, all your fan base is going to say, that's fine. And then for the next 6 years, you're going to hold your breath and wonder how, you know, maybe 20 to 25% of your payroll is impacted by the fact that you're paying this guy $35 million a year for the next 6 years. I mean, these guys don't hold up. None of these long-term pitching contracts for guys that are approaching their 30th birthday hold up. Now, he's 28. He's going to pitch it at that. So you got a chance to get 3, maybe 4 years. But, you know, the miles really pile up on these power pitchers. And this is a power pitcher. The Scherzers, the Scherzers and the Verlanders are rare birds. They last a long time. But that is an oddity in baseball. So the Yankees are already, you know, dreading the fact that they brought in Stanton and they're going to have to pay him, you know, his $320 million over 10 years. And this one, you know, maybe if they win a couple World Series and, you know, ownership was upset that for the first time in their history that they went a 10-year period without going to a World Series or winning one, I understand that. That's a different market. But, you know, they will regret it probably somewhere down the line 3 or 4 years from now.
You mentioned the White Sox needing a couple of pitchers. Where do they turn now, and is this going to be another trade situation? Are they going to start using some of the minor league talent as they did with Steele Walker to try to improve the major league team?
No, I don't think so. I think it's pretty much free agent market, and you're going to see them. I still think Keuchel is the best fit for the White Sox because of the fact that the drop-off in the stuff is not going to be that predominant going forward. You know, he's not a guy that throws 95 miles an hour, so you don't have to worry about that part. I think that, you know, they'd love to get him on a 3 or 4 year contract, but, you know, with what's going on right now, you know, maybe all three of these guys that I mentioned are going to get 5 year deals. You know, you don't want to give Ryu 5 years at age 33, but again, the market, you know, sets itself. And when you start creating your own frenzy of, hey, we must get a starting pitcher, then people get extra money, they get extra years, and that's just the way it goes.
Before we let you go, Bruce, speaking of markets, what is the market for Chris Bryant? His name has been bandied about the lobby, we understand, a lot this week.
Well, you know, I wrote a story again on him yesterday. There was, you know, tons of stuff, including Boris talking about his service time and about how he's talking to the Cubs. But it's certainly not about an extension. It's more about this year's contract and how it's just a part of the game that superstars get mentioned in trades. He really low-keyed it. But, you know, we identified three teams, you know, Washington, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. I talked to an Atlanta source late last night. They are leaning toward bringing Josh Donaldson back, possibly on a 3-year deal. So, you know, maybe it's a new player comes in. But the Rendon situation is holding up that marketplace. Where does Rendon go now? How much, you know, 30 million times how many years for him as a third baseman? Does he go to the Dodgers? Does he go to the Phillies? Does he end up in Washington? These are the questions holding up that market, and the Cubs are waiting there for that answer. Once that's been answered, then the other teams are going to move toward Bryant. But at this point in time, you know, the teams that are still the most interested would be Washington and, in particular, Philadelphia.
All righty. Thank you so much, Bruce. Appreciate it, pal.
Thanks, Bruce. Good job.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is Bruce Levine, the Scores baseball analyst, the winter meetings in San Diego. Let's get to Kevin, the scoreboard update.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Now Anderson with that fly ball down the right field line, and it's caught by Mazzara. What a play! This ball hammered out to right field. That's trouble. It's gone! A two-run homer for Mazzara. And he hammers this ball deep out to center field, and gone! Shot by Mazzara.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. You see the distance of those home runs and you think he'd hit more of them. The because when he gets a hold of one, my goodness gracious, it's, 500 and...
Is it feast or famine, though, with him?
I don't know.
You wonder about that. You wonder why he didn't hit more.
See, now I got Adam Dunn in my head. Stop!
No, don't think Adam Dunn.
No, never.
I mean, Adam Dunn was also a free agent signing, right? That was a guy you didn't have to give up anything for.
So David, you said something this morning. It must have been 5:20 or so. We were doing the 5 at 5, and we were talking about the White Sox. And as you know, I desperately attempt to be positive about these things, I struggle to be, because I think that's the way to go through life. And you said that the question was whether or not this was a good move or a rushed one.
Right.
And you suggested that because the White Sox were having difficulty getting players to come, did they rush this? Did they sign this guy, make a trade because they could fill a position, make the fans feel better, and not have to worry about a guy saying no?
Well, I think I said I don't hate this. I don't necessarily love it, but I understand it because this is a trade. This isn't somebody that you're going to go down to the 11th hour at a negotiating table and worrying about the Cubs or the Phillies or the Yankees or the Red Sox or another team swooping in and taking your guy and counting on a depth chart that you can't, or a lineup that you can't fill out because you lost your guy at the 11th hour. To me, this speaks to the White Sox taking a safe route. And he may end up being a terrific player, because at 24, as much as he is a symbol of unfulfilled potential in Texas, he is a guy that represents a high ceiling in Chicago. You know, that's the way it always goes in baseball and in sports. You know, you always think that a change of scenery could benefit somebody as young and talented as Mazzara appears to be to some people. So I just believe that this is a trade that guarantees you somebody is going to be in right field that's new, that's different, and that fits a need that exists for you. And you identified one, a left-handed power hitter. That's what he is. And you can look at the numbers and talk yourself and say, you know, accurately, that 19 home runs does not define somebody as a power hitter in today's Major League Baseball. But when you look at him, 6'4", 215, that swing, these numbers, he's a power hitter.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's supposed to
like
be a power
hitter. Tarzan plays. I'm not going there. I'm happy they made a move. I'm getting excited, but Kevin, who is
your pessimistic instincts are kicking in.
Not at
4
all.
Hours later.
I am. You
this
know what?
Guy to my right is. I saw him on Twitter yesterday, getting woken up from a nap by this news, and he was upset. It's been non-stop.
Dustin and I talking at 3:30 this morning before the show. I'm coming out guns blazing because this is so underwhelming. I mean, he had a lower WAR than Adam Engel last season. Let's put it into that perspective.
WAR.
Hey, listen, man. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Okay, it's not whether you believe in metrics or not. Well, they're real. They exist.
Well, but let's look at their thought process here, though. I think that they're looking for a couple things. They want players who are under team control for next couple seasons. And you get that here, right? You get that with Mazzara.
You get 2 years more of him at 5 point whatever.
Well, there's going to be arbitration, but I think almost that you're paying $5.7 million this year, so that's a very affordable contract.
Yes.
And it does remove at least one thing on your to-do list, and that is to find a right fielder who hits from the left side with power. Okay?
Okay.
So if your priorities going into this week were still starting pitching, your top priorities still exist. This doesn't affect that. And I think that, you know, we talk about and we've discussed the Nick Castellanos and Marcell Ozuna and the bigger names.
What do they give you?
They give you excitement. They give you a more live bat. They give you more of a proven commodity.
Certainty.
They give you certainty.
They give you like established certainty. What you get here, you're going after potential. You're going after a guy. You're saying the dreaded change of venue will affect him. You know, that maybe getting into a new place will make a difference.
But,
so you're making a bet. You're making another bet on potential. He's 24. He's been in the major leagues for a while. See, the problem is I was expecting certainty. I was expecting them to go out on the free agent market and bring in proven and bring in somebody who has numbers on the back of the baseball card that you can aim for and try to hit. Now, that doesn't mean it'll work, but but all you're spending is money.
Absolutely.
And you're getting certainty.
That gets us back to the way we started this conversation, and this is sort of an oxymoron. But what you get in Mazar is guaranteed potential. What you get in Castellanos and Ozuna is uncertain certainty, because you don't know that you can get them. You don't know that you can sign them.
Right.
You're fearful that you can't because you haven't been able to close the deal too often in the past. Now, does that speak well of the White Sox negotiating powers? No, not at all. But I understand the mentality. I get what they're thinking and why they're going this route, because this guarantees you somebody that you can count on to, if he comes through, you look like a genius. If he doesn't, you have very low risk and money invested here. You have very little hope invested here.
Well, I hope Steele Walker isn't the player that we will regret, because I have a list of regrets, you know, both in my personal life, none of your business.
Many, yeah.
And certainly in the White Sox. See,
Texter brings up a great point here. Tommy La Stella hit 16 home runs last year, and he missed half the year with a broken hand. And he's about as big as I am. It doesn't matter how big and strong you are and how nice you look up at the plate and whether Ricky Renteria thinks you're 7 foot tall or whatever. It's about production. Jose Altuve is as big as half of one of you guys. He hits 30 home runs a year.
Well, Kevin, I would just say to this, I mean, look, this isn't just one guy, one team that the White Sox are looking at this guy and saying, okay, you know, his potential is blowing us away. We're going to give up Steele Walker or a prospect to get him. He did come up. He made his major league debut at 20.
Right.
He was a guy that the Rangers identified as an up-and-comer.
Yes.
That was 2016. He was the rookie of the month for the I'm using this. I know it was a long time
please,
ago.
Please, let's have positive.
But I'm using this as a rationale to say, yes, okay, this is not somebody that every team in Major League Baseball looked at one point and said, you know what, he's a miss. We can't win with him. The Rangers, he was a ballyhooed prospect. He was to them.
I love a good ballyhoo.
Well,
but David, two more positives, if mm-hmm. I could. One is that they have an abundance of corner outfielders. So they are loaded at a position and they needed to move someone. Now, the fact that they decided to move him, that's fine. But maybe the change of venue thing comes to play. And as you say, he was once a very highly thought of prospect. The other one is the Arizona Diamondbacks and, more importantly, the St. Louis Cardinals were in on this trade talk. They were interested in bringing the guy in. I think the Cardinals have done a pretty good job
scouting.
Well, just saying.
Absolutely.
So I feel that the Sox getting this
it's
guy.
It's kind of like a Patriot. If the Patriots like a prospect, you think, okay.
I'm clutching at straws, but I like that idea. But what I said to you this morning, I said to you, doesn't this kind of like they had Avi Garcia? Doesn't this kind of is this an Avi Garcia kind of poor man's Avi Garcia move?
Remind you of Avi Garcia, because when Avi Garcia was
big, strong dude,
when you got him from the Tigers, the thing was with him, he walked around the clubhouse and you thought, okay, what's a Bears player doing here? You know,
he's
because
huge.
He looked like an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
And this guy, 6'4", 215, and as Ricky Renteria said, he looks 7 feet tall at the plate, and that's going to make Kevin cringe every time he hears it.
7 feet tall.
He's never come close to having the year Avi had in 2017. I mean, he was on the All-Star. Didn't he win the batting title?
I said poor
man. Came in second?
He lost the batting title.
Came into second.
But I said poor man.
But the comparison, Kevin, you're twisting Mully out of context
here.
Yes,
no. Okay.
I would never.
Don't you dare.
When Avi Garcia came to the White Sox, when they made that trade, And he was at Charlotte. I remember I was in Charlotte for a Bears game, and I remember sitting down with him in the dugout at Charlotte Knights and saying, and this was a guy who there was a lot of hype attached to his arrival in Chicago, much like the ballyhoo that accompanies Nomar.
You're right.
They're
both great looking physical specimens.
Right.
I'll give you that.
Right.
The difference is Mazara has had four full seasons in Texas as a proven commodity, whereas Garcia didn't really get that opportunity in Detroit. He didn't become a full-time player until he came to the White Sox. There's a track record on Nomar Mazara. I think we kind of know what he is by now, and he ain't much.
All right, 312-644-6767. Let's talk to some others who may have a different viewpoint than Kevbo's rampant negativity. Jeff is on the road. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Jeff.
I'm actually with Kevin on that. I think this is a, you know, it doesn't do much for me. It just kind of feels like the same old, you know, low risk, high reward player. I want the White Sox to go after difference makers. That's what they need. They have a plethora of nice players right now, potential stars, but they're not right
plethora.
Now. And they and Rendon, there is no reason why they should not be all in on a player of that caliber. We saw what he did in the postseason. He was ridiculous in the regular season. I don't get why.
Can he play right field?
That was a joke. Yeah, well, I don't. You know, throw him at third. Throw him
you.
Anywhere.
Throw him anywhere.
That's
fair
too
enough.
Valuable.
Gather the best players, yes, that money can buy. I'm with you.
I'm fine with not getting Gerrit Cole. That was expensive. I get it. But guys like Rendon, everyday players, they've got to go after difference makers. That's just really my point.
I respect the passion and even the skepticism and the cynicism. It's all great because you care. But I think that if Nomar Mazara is going to define your offseason, you got problems. But I don't think that that's the intention of this trade. This is not going to be the biggest deal. It can't define your offseason. It really can't define it may define the winter meetings, but it shouldn't define the winter.
It wounds me, the idea that you can't talk someone into coming here if you're waving money at them, so you have to go make a trade. That's the thing that bothers me about it, and that's all Kevin keeps saying. Tom's in Willowbrook. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi, guys. Well, I got to say that, I mean, the optics of this are just so horrible. The actual player and the situation with the player might not be that bad. It might work out. You might actually get lucky and catch lightning in a bottle. But, I mean, the optics of it are just so bad. And I think the fan base, at least people that know, at least people that follow baseball, especially that follow some of the minor league prospects, are just apoplectic right now. I mean, it's really, really kind of depressing. And also, I think we just learned that now your outfield cupboard is bare because, I mean, that was...
Well, we knew
the Rangers pretty much told you who the guy was who was left in our system, and now he's gone. So now we don't really have anything left as far as outfield.
You still have Bisabi. You still have who am I missing? Well, I'd be obviously Louis Robert is
Rutherford.
The big one. Rutherford would be the other one, right? I mean, and Rutherford, I don't know if he'll work out, but I know that he's buddies with the guy in Milwaukee.
Can I just take time out here for a second from this baseball conversation to compliment our callers?
Oh,
we have gotten apoplectic, plethora, and ballyhoo.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a morning.
I thought ballyhoo was you.
Oh, was it?
Sox fans
why don't you take a moment to congratulate yourself?
Right fielder yesterday.
Yeah, Sox fans embarrassing Dustin once again. Let's try Colin. He's in Naperville.
Morning, Colin.
Don't give me a dirty look.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just want to say, how do we know we're still not going to sign Castellanos or Ozuna or Puig? I mean, Mazar could be your DH, or you could sign one of those guys as your DH. We trade this guy for nothing. Steele Walker is 23 and hasn't played above high A. I mean, who cares about Steele Walker? I mean, we got Mazara for nothing. Let's give him a chance. You guys are so pessimistic. Who knows?
No, somebody. Not me. Don't lump me into that category. Yeah. No, I said I did not hate this trade.
You can lump me all you want. I can
I'm
be lumped.
Little,
you
deserve
to
be lumped. That Colin didn't play what one texter is calling word porn with us.
Oh, I know.
But you know who plays that for a living is Dan Bernstein. We'll bring him in next.
Oh, that's great.
That will be certainly a moment of great linguistic
apoplexy.
Value, if nothing else. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.